President Biden is in Mexico City today meeting with Mexican and Canadian leaders about a number of issues facing the continent, including immigration. Over the weekend, Biden made his first presidential visit to the U.S.-Mexico border, stopping in El Paso, Texas, where he met with Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott, among others. The trip comes after the Biden administration announced a new immigration policy last week that would turn away more Cubans, Haitians, and Nicaraguans who cross the border from Mexico.
If you're trying to leave Cuba, Nicaragua, or Haiti, you have and we or have agreed to begin a journey to America, do not just show up at the border. Stay where you are and apply legally from there. Starting today, if you don't apply through the legal process, you will not be eligible for this new parole program.
The policy also allows for 30,000 people per month from those three countries and Venezuela to be accepted into the U.S. legally if they have eligible sponsors, vetting, and background checks. These changes come as the full Title 42 immigration/health program from the Trump administration continues to work its way through the court system without a final legal determination. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the Biden administration's latest moves on immigration? What questions do you have about this policy? We're going to dig into more details in just a moment. What would you like to see the president or Congress do about immigration at the U.S.-Mexico border and border security? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Elise Cohen is an associate professor of political science at UW Green Bay. She's chair of the Public and Environmental Affairs program there. Elise, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks. It's great to be with you, Rob.
Can you talk through this policy as it applies to those three countries, Cuba, Haiti, and Nicaragua? And there's a comparable program, I think, in existence for Venezuela. Some additional rejections at the border, but a new pathway. What's going on?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So Venezuela came first back in October of last year with a similar rollout of a policy. And now this announcement is showing us an expansion for the Cubans, Haitians, and Nicaraguans. It's essentially a carrot and stick approach the administration is trying to take to manage the southern border crossings. And the stick aspect is sort of what you mentioned there in the introduction with that quote from Biden that you will be blocked from applying for asylum if you cross without authorization. And then the carrot part of the approach that the administration is going for is saying they will accept up to 30,000 people per month through humanitarian parole if they enter legally.
And the idea is that if you're in one of these now four countries, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Elise, you can apply from your country of origin for this asylum. You don't present yourself at the border to apply in this way.
So one of the things that there is some praise around is that the administration is really plugging this new app, this mobile app, where people could apply in advance instead of having to go arrive at the border and wait in long lines of hundreds or thousands of people to go through the asylum appointment request, that they could just use this mobile app on their smartphone to request the appointment. So theoretically, that could really help and provide a more dignified, orderly way for people to apply. But the other part of that is that the appointments would need to be timely. You know, if the asylum appointment would still be 1 or 2 years away, it's unlikely that it would really deter people from finding other ways to irregularly cross the border.
And I guess if I'm a poor person in Haiti living, under some kind of threat, do I have a smartphone? Do I have access to this at all?
Exactly. That's another really important point. So many people in Haiti right now, for example, are facing acute food insecurity and threats of kidnapping and gang violence. So it's not clear how able they would be to access this kind of process in an orderly way, especially since many of them have already left to go to a lot of other countries in Latin America or the Caribbean in the meantime. So there are a lot of criticisms that this rollout of policies is facing.
And then that's kind of on the carrot side, this app that would allow people to apply from their country of origin. The stick side. Now, some pro-immigration advocates are saying, wait a minute, isn't this the same sort of thing that the Trump administration was doing, making it harder for people who present themselves at the border or enter at a non-legal crossing point to claim asylum and just being rejected without any kind of hearing? Is that comparable to what we've seen in the previous administration?
Yes, that is a really important point of contention, because those critics are saying this is kind of like the Trump era transit ban for that rule that they've also announced, that if the migrant has traveled through another country en route to the U.S. to apply for asylum, that they would also then be disqualified, because they should instead go ahead and apply for asylum in Mexico or Panama, whichever other country they had passed through. And when the Trump administration tried to do that through what was called the Safe Third Country Agreements, that faced all sorts of criticisms and legal challenges for blocking the fundamental right to asylum. So that is one of the main parallels where we're seeing critics say, how is this different from the Trump era use of that kind of transit ban? And then, as you mentioned, the expansion of Title 42. This was associated with the Trump administration under the sort of guise of a public health ordinance with the pandemic. But the way the officials now are speaking about using it to enforce immigration restrictions, it's pretty clear that it's not about public health at this point. It really is just being used as an immigration restriction tool.
Talking to Elise Cohen from UW Green Bay, looking at the latest immigration announcements from the Biden administration, making it easier to send people back from the southern border in many instances, giving some pathways to people from selected countries to apply for asylum from their home country. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your reactions, your questions. What do you think about the president's visit to the U.S.-Mexico border, his first of his presidency? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. At least Title 42, it gets complicated here. As you say, it was a health initiative used at the U.S. border, though. The Biden administration trying to end this Title 42, getting blocked in the courts, but also with this new announcement using Title 42 as a justification for rejecting some people at the border. Can you help sort that out for us a little?
Yes, well, you've really hit the nail on the head in terms of the confusion, because on one hand, the administration has criticized Trump's use of Title 42 from the moment his presidential campaign, Biden's presidential campaign, unfolded, and was really trying to dismantle it in the courts. When it was upheld by a federal judge brought on by Republican lawsuits trying to keep it in place, the administration says, we will continue to fight against Title 42. We recognize it is inhumane. It is misusing public health as an excuse to block illegal access to asylum. But now that there's this expansion of Title 42 expulsions, meaning expelling people rapidly without really giving them a chance for due process to fully go through credible fear and that kind of screening process for asylum, it seems like the administration is fully embracing that Title 42 is an easy shortcut to go ahead and expel people very quickly without having to go through the bureaucratic processes and affording them their rights. So this is really quite a conundrum, and it's interesting to see how administration officials are trying to walk that line between saying this is orderly and safe and humane, while at the same time defending something that in the courts they've been ostensibly, you know, fighting against.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Joanne is with us in Madison. Joanne, hi.
Hi. I'm calling about immigration from other countries other than Central America. I have a family member who married someone from Thailand. They've applied for a spousal visa. They've been waiting well over a year just to get any kind of word, let alone a decision. And so I'm wondering if there's anything in the bill that addresses the amount of time that it takes for people who are trying to come to the country legally.
Joanne, thanks for the call. My understanding, Elise, from this executive action over the last few days is this is pretty targeted toward Central and South America and asylum seeking. Do I have that right?
Yes. One of the big changes has been the origins and where these migrants are coming from. So as your caller mentions, it's beyond the northern Central American countries, what we think of as the Northern Triangle. Now it's really looking at Cubans, Haitians, Venezuelans at a new level that we haven't seen. I mean, especially Cubans and Haitians, we haven't seen this level of crossings or interdictions, even, you know, maritime interdictions at the sea since the 1990s. So it's a really big change in who these people are. And that's what this new announcement is focused on. Your caller is right, though. Joanna is right in bringing up just even the long wait time through other legal channels for migrants of other countries. And so that's kind of the root cause that isn't getting addressed with these policies is the tremendous backlog in the immigration court system and the tremendously long wait time for legal pathways to enter this country.
Joanne, thanks for calling. Good luck to your family member. We're talking to UW Green Bay political science professor Elise Cohen about changes to the Biden administration's immigration policy and his weekend visit to the U.S.-Mexico border. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the U.S.-Mexico border, the asylum process, these latest changes from the Biden administration? What do you want to see from the president, the courts? And how about Congress? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our talk with Elise Cohen, political science professor at UW Green Bay, with us today to talk about immigration policy and President Biden's visit to the U.S.-Mexico border over the weekend. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you agree with this policy from the Biden administration to turn away migrants from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela who arrive at the U.S.-Mexico border seeking asylum? How about the idea of giving them a way to apply for asylum from their home country? Big picture, what changes do you want to see, if any, at the southern border? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's go back to our callers. Don is with us in Lafarge. Don, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call there. I was just saying the problem seems to be that the bureaucracy is a bottleneck. I can't see how, if you've got waiting periods and, you know, lines that you have to wait in for years and stuff. I mean, not literal lines, but, you know, the waiting period. It's just going to cause all kinds of it's going to create a whole set of new problems. And I'm afraid we're just going to have to spend some money to kind of increase the bureaucracy to process these people. And I don't even mean, you know, let everybody in. I just mean, to let in some reasonable percentage of people that, you know, would like to. I mean, as has probably been said, most of us who are at least European Americans here in the U.S., you know, our background is immigrants.
Don, thanks a lot for the call. And Elise, I think we've talked about this before, especially regarding asylum. There aren't a lot of asylum judges, not enough to keep up with demand, which is why I think something like Title 42 just kind of short circuits that process. What do you think of Don's point?
Yeah, Don is absolutely right in using that phrase of a bureaucracy bottleneck. That's one way we could put it. And part of this is the withholding of congressional funding for having an expansion of the immigration court system and more of those immigration judges to move things at a faster speed. So, you know, one thing that we see with this announcement is that Biden is trying to expand further the use of the humanitarian parole as a sort of quicker way through executive power because of the bureaucratic backlogs and because of things like the inability of the chambers in Congress to come up with legislation that can actually move things forward. So that's why we see these non-traditional, you know, giving parole to these groups as the carrot side of the approach. And parole is only temporary. It's only up to 2 years for those who legally enter and qualify. And there is work authorization, but they would have to then apply for asylum and go ahead and kick the can down the road, so to speak, for that backlog in the asylum courts to have a permanent pathway to stay here and remain safe. So, yes, we have to find a way to address the immigration courts and the lack of judges in order to move things forward at the root level.
Thanks a lot for that call. Jim joins us now in Beaver Dam. Jim, hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking the call. So I understand with Haiti and the natural disasters and the need for, you know, assistance in whatever fashion we can give. But my question basically is on the South American problem. Now, I get it, man. There's this, the cartels down there, they're brutal, and they're doing all this really nasty stuff to their own people, and quite frankly, to us also. And so my question is, how is the problem ever going to get fixed if the people who live there aren't in a position where they have to take care of their problem? And yeah, yes, granted, we need to help. We absolutely do, because whatever the solution ends up being, we still have this massive wild bear on our border that needs to be dealt with.
Jim, thanks for the call. Elise, the problem's driving people to want to leave these countries in the first place.
Yeah, that's a really important point to highlight. So as Jim mentions, you know, what is going on in countries like Cuba, for example. So in Cuba, the political repression has really intensified. There were widespread protests in 2021. And then following those protests, people were mass detained and there were criminal prosecutions of people just for being opposed to their government. So, you know, what Jim is speaking about, what about the people themselves organically trying to change their government system, you know, to make their country safe or prosperous to remain in? Well, what we see is some of these authoritarian regimes, like in Venezuela and in Cuba, they are oppressing those people that would try and make that kind of change organically. And so that's part of the picture for why people are being displaced, not just the pandemic and the economic issues, but real issues of political repression and human rights violations.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Elise Cohen, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW Green Bay, looking at the latest Biden administration policies at the U.S.-Mexico border. Back to your calls now. Sherilyn is with us in Delavan. Sherilyn, hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I grew up in El Paso, Texas, so I know this issue intimately. And, you know, the policy of accepting folks from these four countries that apply locally is a good policy only if we provide money to those companies or countries to help them get the news out to their folks before they hit the road. But bigger than that, Congress needs to adopt a rational immigration policy. This has gone on way too long. It's ridiculous. The humanitarian issues are immense. And we are a country that is supposed to honor amnesty, and I don't know how we get to that until Congress acts. But I think this is the first step that Biden has tried to do within his power, but it will require money to make sure that those folks from those four countries know what the expectations are.
Sherilyn, thanks a lot for calling. At least I want to key in on one thing Sherilyn was saying there about Congress not getting in on this. It seems like with Obama and Trump and now Biden, they're looking at their presidential authority, using it as much as they can. The courts might approve, they might not. Absent action by Congress, we're just going to keep having these kind of problems, right?
Yeah. Sherilyn absolutely brings up this crucial point at the core of what's happening with the expansion of parole and non-traditional ways of trying to address things, because we really haven't seen a bill that received bipartisan support for immigration reform since 2013. Now, that bill had bipartisan support in the Senate. We're talking about nearly a decade ago. And since those 10 years have passed, Congress has only become more politically polarized. And even back then, it was actually in the House of Representatives, but really conservative members of the Tea Party at the time blocked that immigration reform bill from moving forward. And so no one would stand before us today and say that Congress is more willing to compromise. But if people really want to see permanent or more effective change that comes through actual legislation, it would need to be about pressuring lawmakers to be willing to compromise on immigration reform.
Sherilyn, thanks for that call. Lisa, I want to take our last couple of minutes to talk about the politics of President Biden's announcement and appearance at the border over the weekend. As you've mentioned, some pro-immigration advocates unhappy with part of this. President Biden receiving a lot of criticism from people who want less immigration at the southern border. Can you talk a little bit about the politics of this weekend?
Oh, yeah, that's a great point, Rob. The political campaign for the presidential election, it's hard to think about already, but it is now looming because it's coming up next year. And it's pretty clear that whoever the Republican nominee is will most likely make immigration a really central part of their campaign. So it seems like a lot of the photo ops and a lot of the press around Biden's visit, not only to El Paso, but to Mexico, is trying to highlight that he's not weak on border security, that there is a counter response to these Republican or conservative attacks, that there's an open border. He's trying to show that he is cracking down, that he can be tough, that he's focused on enforcement priorities. So what will be interesting to see is if he's able to overcome the divisions within his party around these kinds of issues and the criticisms he faces among liberals to try and court some of those more independent or conservative voters, which clearly he has in mind, you know, thinking ahead to the elections next year.
In just our last half a minute, what are you watching for in this meeting with leaders of Mexico and Canada?
Well, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how much Mexico will be willing to continue to help with enforcement and deterring migrants, and in exchange for what. It's pretty clear that the president of Mexico and President Biden have a transactional relationship. So sort of what are they going to hammer out in terms of what will work both for their own interests? And that's really what I'll be looking for, as well as to see, you know, the legal aspects of Title 42. Listeners may want to just keep an eye on that, because next month there's going to be the arguments in the Supreme Court over whether Title 42 will be kept in place.
Elise, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks so much. Great to be with you, Rob.
That's Elise Cohen, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. She was with us today to talk about immigration from South and Central America and recent changes to the Biden administration's policies as President Biden spent the weekend visiting the U.S.-Mexico border, now meeting in Mexico City.